It's nice to have all of you tonight. Tonight I have a very unusual message to share. It's entitled, Thank God for Fleas and Wounds. And I want to share in a very personal way some of the things the Lord has been teaching me, especially over the last couple of weeks. Maybe you could alter this a little bit. I'm getting just a little bit of feedback. Yeah, I'll try. But this is the most comfortable spot for my arm. So, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find a very interesting passage in the Bible that I admit freely has not always been the easiest passage to do, especially for me in the last 6 years. It says this in verse 16, always be joyful. Keep on praying, no matter what happens. Always be thankful in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is God's will for me? What does God want me to do? Well, there are many things God wants us to do, and there are many things that God will reveal to us and show us that is His will. But this verse specifically says, if you read it from the last verse first, this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Always be joyful, keep on praying, and whatever happens in your life, always be thankful about it. Now, I wrote beside that, are you kidding? God, were you high that day? Or better yet, that is really easy for God to say. I mean, you're up there in heaven. You're in a perfect environment. You never get sick. You never get tired. You never have a bad day. The sun always shines. You're surrounded by your loved ones, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the other saints that are with you, and all the angels, and everything in heaven happens just as you want. So, Lord, you know, me and the Lord, we have these conversations. A little like Tevye and the Lord in Fiddler on the Roof. If you haven't seen it, if you don't even know what I'm talking about, rent it. It'll be educational for you. So, Lord, seriously, Lord, I know I love your word. I believe your word. And I really do know you know what's best for me. But Lord, this one isn't so easy. You know, this one is really challenging. And it has been very challenging for me over the last year. But I'd like to share with you how God can make sense when life doesn't. So I want to read a story to you this evening, and then I want to tell you a true story of something that just happened to us recently. Over the last 6 years during my daughter's illness, she's still quite ill. One of the things that I did, one of the things that I try to do in order to help me to survive, quite honestly, in order to help me to get through, is to try to give myself perspective. And so there's a book, it's called The Hiding Place, and it's the true story of Corey and Betsy Timboom. They were two sisters who never married, who lived in Holland, in Amsterdam, at the time that the Nazis invaded. And they were 50 and 53 years old. And they began hiding Jews in their home. They were not Jewish, they were Christians. Their whole family was found out. Their father, all their siblings, and Corey and Betsy were taken off. They were betrayed by a close friend. And they were taken off and they were put in prison. Their father eventually died there. And Corey and her sister had some of the most horrific experiences that you can imagine in the death camps. And this, she is relating one of the stories. They'd just been moved to a place called Ravensbrück, which was one of the death concentration camps. And I'm going to pick it up from when they just began to move to a permanent facility there. The move to a permanent quarters came the second week in October. We were marched 10 abreast along a wide cinder avenue and then into a narrower street of barracks. Several times the column halted while numbers were read out. Names were never used at Ravensbrook. At last, Betsy and mine were called. Prisoner 66729, prisoner 66730. We stepped out of line with a dozen or so others and stared at the long gray front of Barracks 28. Half of its windows seemed to have been broken and replaced with rags. A door in the center led us into a large room where 200 or more women bent over knitting needles. On tables between them were piles of woolen socks and army gray. On either side door opened into two still larger rooms, by far the largest dormitories we had ever seen. Betsy and I followed a prisoner guide through the door to the right. Because of the broken windows and the vast room, it was semi-twilight. Our noses told us first that the place was filthy. Somewhere plumbing had backed up and bedding was soiled and rancid. Then as our eyes adjusted to the gloom, we saw that there was no individual beds at all, but great square piles of wood stacked three high like giant bunks and wedged side by side, end to end, with only an occasional narrow aisle slicing through. We followed our guide single file. The aisle was not wide enough for two. Fighting back the claustrophobic feeling of the platforms rising everywhere above us, the tremendous room was nearly empty of people because most were out working on various work crews. At last, she pointed to a second tier in the center of a large block. To reach it, we had to stand on the bottom level, haul ourselves up, then crawl across three other straw-covered platforms to reach the one that we would share with how many other? Only God knew. The deck above us was too close to let us sit up. We lay back, struggling against the nausea that swept over us from the reeking straw. We could hear the women who had arrived with us finding their places. Suddenly, I sat up, striking my head on the crossbar. Something had pinched my leg. Fleas, I cried, Betsy. The place is swarming with fleas. We scrambled across the intervening platforms, head low to avoid another bump on the head, dropped down the aisle, and edged our way to a patch of light. Here and here, another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us, Lord, show us, said Betsy. It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize my sister was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for my sister Betsy. Corey, she said excitedly, he's given us the answer before we ask, as he always does in the Bible this morning. Where was it? Read that part again. They had snuck a Bible into the camp. If they had been found with it, they would have been killed. I glanced down the long dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew my Bible from its pouch. It was 1 Thessalonians, I said. We were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving the previous camp. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all others. It seemed written expressly for Ravensbrook. Go on, said Betsy, that wasn't all. Oh, yes. To one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barrack. I stared at her, then around at this dark, foul-smelling room. Such as, I said, such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord. Such as what you're holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there were no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy, thank you for the very crowding here, since we're packed so close that many more will hear the good news. She looked at me expectantly. Corey, she prodded. Oh, all right. Thank you for the jam-cram, stuff-packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas. And the fleas? This is too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for these stinking fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of the place where God has put us. So we stood between the piece of the bunks, the piers of the bunks, and gave thanks for the fleas. But this time I knew my sister was wrong. Several weeks later, I was coming home from the barracks late from wood gathering outside the walls. A light snow lay on the ground, and it was hard to find the sticks and twigs with all the small stove that was kept going in each room. Betsy was waiting for me, as always, so that we could wait through the line together, the food line. Her eyes were twinkling. "You look extraordinarily pleased with yourself," I said to her. You know, Corey, we never understood why we've had so much freedom in the big room and we've been able to talk to all these ladies about God," she said. "Well, the day I found out," that afternoon, she said, there'd been confusion in her knitting group about sock sizes. And they asked the supervisor to come and settle it. But the Nazi supervisor said she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumphant look from her voice or her face. "Because of the fleas." That's what she said. "The place is crawling with fleas." My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place, and I remember Betsy's bowed head, remembered her thanks to God for the creatures I could see no use for. I've not forgotten that story. I've not always obeyed it. But I've not forgotten that story and the profound impact that it had on these two women in the midst of horrific suffering. They would have to rise every day, 7 days a week, and stand at attention in a line for 3 hours at 3 a.m. till 6 a.m. with only newspapers around their legs against the bitter cold. 30,000 women in these barracks. If anyone fell down, they were beaten severely. They could not raise their hands to cover their ears to the screams of the women that were being beaten. Their existence was miserable. And yet this sister, Betsy, had the audacity to believe that God wanted them to thank God for the fleas. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 45:15, you've probably heard this, but you probably didn't know it was in the Bible, so let me read it to you. "Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, you work in strange and mysterious ways." You ever heard somebody say that and you thought, that can't be in the Bible? God works in strange and mysterious ways. Somebody made that up. It's in the Bible. God works in strange and mysterious ways. Several months ago, I think it was July, maybe June. I'll have it written down at home. My daughter, with all that she's had going on, she's had this severe skin issue from about here to her legs. And at times, it's looked like someone took a blowtorch to her leg. And the skin has come off, and it's raw, and it's red. And she just screams and cries in pain. And it's just been horrible. And then it'll morph to something else, to a fungal, and then red dots. And it's just bizarre. This summer, all of a sudden, Jessica developed open skin ulcers on her legs. In the back of her hamstring, it was like someone had shot a .45 bullet into her leg. It was about the size of a bullet. And there was about eight of them, kind of right in kind of a circle. And then on each knee, a big one about the size of my finger developed. They weren't super deep, but they were about the depth of a nickel. And I don't want to gross you out because I can't really get into that either, but I just wanted you to understand. And so she'd not been able to move her knees for quite some time, bend her legs, and she'd been bedridden up to this time for about a year, just enough to hobble, try to hobble to the bathroom. And I was just overwhelmed. One day I counted, and there were about eight at that time on each leg, and we just had no idea what to do, and the doctor had no idea what to do. And all during this time, leading up to these skin ulcers, we had always viewed the other parts of her skin as a dermatological issue or a derma issue. And so, you know, you'd contact a dermatologist. One day, I was laying down resting. It had been a really long day, and I was laying down, and all of a sudden, I just woke up, almost hit my head on the bunk because I rest down on this futon bunk. It was my son's. And I just thought, my gosh, these are wounds. These are wounds. The skin ulcers are wounds. Never thought that before. Not in 6 years. There were never wounds. There was just dermatitis. So I ran upstairs. I went out to my office and I called this woman who I had been buying these products from. Gauze and bandages from Alabama. And about 7 months ago, she told me of these patches. They're called blue patches, just for short. I'll call them that. But at the time, my daughter didn't have ulcers, so I just cut her off very gently. I said, you know, Annie, that probably wouldn't help because that's not what she's dealing with. So, but I remembered it, so I called her. I said, Annie, why were you telling me about that? She said, well, Mark, my son has diabetes, and he'd got a terrible skin ulcer on his foot, and it wouldn't heal. And the doctors tried everything for 6 months, and so I knew we sold these patches, so I bought them, and we did what they said. We used it, and within a month, it was gone. So I asked her to send me the patches. They weren't cheap. Eventually, my son got a hold, Jeremy, of the company, and they began to send us thousands of dollars of patches free. Well, we started to apply these patches to Jessica's legs, and it was extremely hard because, it was a complete change of protocol from what we'd been doing. And secondly, because they're made out of a certain kind of foam, they made her legs extra warm. They were already warm, and now they made it even more warm. And well, anyway, after about a week or two of this, we realized we just can't do this. Her pain is off the charts, and we just, when we go to change him, I won't even describe it to you, it was horrific. My wife came out of the room one day and she said, Mark can't do this anymore. We have not known where to take Jessica. We've contacted a lot of different doctors. We've had her in the hospital before, at least twice. And no one's known what to do. No one. A year ago, we were at a hospital, not here in the cities, but in another hospital, and there was both good and bad things that happened during that time. It was a very difficult time, but the skin protocol they gave us was the one we'd been using, and we did their skin protocol for 40 days. We saw a dermatologist there, and 45 days after that would have been August till about the end of September or the middle of October, we actually saw Jessica's skin get almost better. And we were like beside ourselves with joy. This was last October, middle of October. Jessica then got her third urinary tract infection. The doctor ordered a odd sort of not normal urinary tract infection antibiotic. And within 3 days of taking that antibiotic, all of Jessica's skin issues was back and worse, and we have been fighting that for 8 months. We've contacted the people down there again. We've asked them, what should we do? It's just been, I can't even tell you, it's been living a nightmare. So my wife said to me, she said, Mark, why don't you contact the places, see if there's places that use this, so at least they know what we were doing. Well, turns out there's only a couple. My son Jeremy helped me make some of the calls. So we found this place that uses them where you can go and they have inpatient care. It's a hospital. Our doctor happened to be at New York at the time. But he called this hospital and was given the head doctor of the wound clinic, who also happens to be a vascular surgeon. His name is Dr. Mark. They had a wonderful conversation, but I have to admit I was very concerned about another hospital stay and what might happen, and we've had so many difficult things happen. Well, to make a really long story short, last Wednesday, not this Wednesday, the Wednesday before, ended 25 days for my daughter in the hospital. They actually wanted her there another month, but the insurance wouldn't cover it, or we'd still be there. We took my daughter. She spent 15 days in intensive care. And this doctor, there's a verse I want to read to you before I tell you the rest of the story. It's an amazing verse in Deuteronomy. The Lord has really been challenging me, I've got to be honest with you, about His Word and about what I believe. The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I have never in my life wrestled with as much fear as the last 365 days since last August 4th until 3 weeks ago. And here God had gone before us in an extraordinary way. Here's how. It was the fact that God brought the skin ulcers that we thought of it as a wound. No one had ever thought of it as a wound. I don't know why. We just always thought of it in dermatological terms. So did the doctors. All of a sudden, it was a wound. And God brought us to a guy, and my daughter got him to share this with her. He's never shared this. One of the nurses who was in the room, who's worked with him 10 years, said he's never shared that with me. And I've known him 10 years. 12 years ago, he was in a horrific accident shortly after getting out of medical school, beginning his practice. And a young person crossed the center line and hit him head on. They broke their arm. His leg was shattered in 50 places. Bone, vessels, muscles all mashed together. Took them an hour to cut him out of the car. He spent the next year in a hospital, almost a year, probably never going to walk again, with wounds that would not heal. And it interested him in wound care. Diverted him from vascular surgery, and now he does both and many things. God prepared a way, and the treatment that he used in 3 weeks almost completely healed what turned out to be 35 ulcers on each leg that Jessica had. It's also begun, because of the treatment he used, begun to finally bring some healing. We're not there yet. We got a long ways to go, because Jessica's got very difficult PT, physical therapy, OT, occupational therapy, and her fibromyalgia pain is extremely, extremely bad. So we got a long road to go. But God once again showed me in my frailty, in my doubts, in my fears, Mark, I am God, and I work all things for good, and I go before you, and I want you, Mark, to learn to trust me more. I want you to learn to thank me when you don't want to. I want you to learn to thank me in all circumstances. You know, since we got home, we've been home now 9 days. Each morning I've been writing my daughter a personal devotional. Never done this in my life, actually. I'm not really a writer. But this message came from one of those devotionals. And I've been profoundly impacted by just writing. The discipline of getting up, thinking of my daughter, of the things that she still has ahead of her, that we still have ahead of her, and taking just a few simple verses and plugging them in to our reality, to our day, to our life. I don't know what you're facing in your life. I do know that most of you are facing some things in your life you don't like. That you're facing some things in your life that are not the way you want it to be. That you're facing some things in your life that you're thinking like me, hello God, did you check out? Do you have a brain? Do you know what you're doing? Do you understand how hard this is for me, Lord? How difficult? I mean, look, let's all be honest. God could... They didn't have to be flee. I mean, you know, someone could say, and I could understand, you might be an agnostic here tonight, or even an atheist. And you may walk up to me and say, you know, Mark, look, if your God's so great, why'd there even have to be ulcers to begin with? That's a great question. And I don't have an easy answer for it. And you got to know that as a dad, to watch your child go through this kind of stuff, it's very difficult. Most difficult thing on my insides I've ever gone through in my life. I understand the reality that sin has affected our world, and that because Christ hasn't come back yet, He allows pain and suffering and sorrow. And He promises one day to do away with all of it. So the next best thing that we have is to grasp that God knows what He's doing with your life. And I'd like to close with this profound verse in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 23. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. God delights in the details of your life. I don't care how big your challenges look or how small they may seem or anywhere in between. God delights in the details of your life. God is not cheating you. God does not do random. God is not being unfair, even if it feels like it. And I know, let's just be honest, many times it feels like it. God loves you. You're the apple of His eye. But He has some unique things that He's trying to do. And I know for me personally, I just speak for me, He's trying to teach me still at 53. I've been walking with the Lord 33 years. And you know what? I'm still learning new ways I need to trust Him. I'm still learning. You know what, Lord? I just got to go back to the simple basics, Lord. I've been sorrowful too long. I've been grieving too long. There's a time for grief. There's a time for sorrow. You want me to rejoice in You. You want me to rejoice in what You're doing, in who You are, in what You're able to do, in Your promises. And You want me to give thanks for these ulcers. And You want me to give thanks for the PT. And You want me to give thanks for the challenge that this is to my life, because You know what You're doing with my life. And You work in strange and mysterious ways. And You have a good purpose for the difficult things that You bring. And it is good enough for me. This is what I'm learning. I need to learn it's good enough that God knows. Let's pray. Come back next week. I'll have a new lesson in which God's been teaching me. Father, I just thank You tonight that You know every detail of every person's life in this room here tonight. Every single one. You know their hurts. You know their sorrows. You know their challenges. You know the injustices that have come their way. And You know, Lord, that You are behind the scenes, before them. As I was sharing with my wife, You're already in tomorrow before we wake up. You're already there preparing the day, preparing the way. And yes, You allow hardships. You allow fleas and wounds. But not to ultimately hurt us. You allow them because You turn what seems to be a curse into a blessing in each of our lives. I want to ask You for me tonight, Lord, help me. Help me trust You. Thank You for the challenges You have brought into my life. Thank You for the present ones that I face even tonight and tomorrow. Help me, Lord God, to trust You more. Thank You that You direct my steps. Thank You that You'll never leave me, never forsake me. Help me to live unafraid and encouraged. In Jesus' name.